email todayradio@rte.ie.
Well, some of your reaction to 51551 to what I was discussing there before the break with Dr. David Nabarro from the World Health Organization. Anya in Skerries says teachers' health is also important. We also have families and elderly family members. Another person says, Sarah, my sister is a teacher in France. All kids back, no social distancing, all wearing masks, no science experiments or computer labs, but no problem so far. And then on the issue of masks, another person says, what is holding up the visible enforcement of masks on public transport? I went up and back to Dundalk recently. Tickets weren't even checked before boarding or on board. What hope is there for masks? Not good. You can keep your texts coming to 51551. Just want to note as well that in yesterday's programme, a reference was made to MEPs flying into Dublin at the weekend and attending the special doll sitting in the Convention Centre in Dublin. And we've been contacted by Mairéad McGuinness MEP to clarify that she was not one of the ones who attended the doll sitting and was not in the Convention Centre. Now, the country is facing into a deep downturn this year, and the economy may not recover until 2024 if we are hit by a so-called second wave of COVID-19. That's according to the central bank's latest quarterly analysis of the economy. I'm joined on the line now by Green Party TD for Dublin Central, Nessa Hourican. And good morning, Nessa, and thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So you've held the finance spokesperson role with the Green Party over the past few months while negotiating a lot of these issues in the government formation talks. On that basis, what do you think should be the priorities in the government's July stimulus plan that they're working on at the moment?
Well, I think for me there's a number of issues. First of all, we do need to kind of start opening things back up and getting people back into work. I think what's interesting about the numbers that we've seen in the last few weeks is that where, you know, there's an increase in corporation tax. So obviously, you know, people perhaps are buying online, they're buying from large corporations. There isn't the kind of what you would expect to see in terms of income tax. There isn't a fall necessarily. There isn't a huge collapse in income tax that you would expect to see. And I think that what that indicates is that many of the people, and we have, you know, a very high level of unemployment at the moment. For younger people, it's, you know, it's as high as 50%. What that means is that perhaps the people who have lost their jobs are people who weren't necessarily paying a huge amount of income tax to begin with. And that means those are people on low incomes, people in precarious work. And I think a focus of what we do in the next few months needs to be on supporting those people, ensuring that, you know, people aren't left behind, and particularly in kind of hospitality and tourism sectors where those jobs tend to be, you know, that we bring back confidence both for small and medium enterprise and making them feel like they're supported by the state, but also consumer confidence.
So what kind of measures specifically then would you be thinking of for those people? I know Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach and the Minister for Jobs, has also identified that group of people are at risk.
Well, I think that, look, we need to bring those jobs back online, and that would be reaching out to small and medium enterprise with grants and loans. I think, you know, in 2008 when we had the last downturn, what we know is that those kind of businesses were quite highly leveraged and that they were in a bad position when the downturn came. That's not the case now. If anything, small and medium businesses in Ireland tend to be quite risk averse, and they don't have a huge amount of debt at the moment. So I think what we would want to be doing is, you know, reaching out to those businesses and ensuring that they feel that, you know, it's okay to take the help and that you can have confidence that the state will support you. And, you know, interest rates have never been lower. The debt is something that we can hopefully manage, and that those supports are there for you. I think that the other side of that is that there will be consumer confidence in that. So what we need is for people to feel that they can make that booking, and you know, if the booking is 6 weeks in advance, that business will still be there, and there's a job of work that the government has to, you know, communicate to people that these businesses are being supported, and that, you know, they will be there in a few weeks time if you do shop local and you know book a few weeks in advance.
As I said a little earlier, the central bank's latest quarterly analysis has this, its worst case scenario says the economy may not recover until 2024 if we're hit by a so-called second wave. And in your negotiations for the programme for government, I'm sure all the different scenarios were discussed. So if something like that plays out, how do you expect the public finances will be managed? And is some sort of level of austerity inevitable in that scenario?
I mean, I really hope not. I think, even a few months ago, we were talking about a recovery that might happen in 2022, and you can see that that's already been pushed out, or that it's possible that that might now be even longer. And I think that we need to look at what is happening across Europe, and what's happening across Europe is people are investing in their, you know, the governments are investing in their communities and in their businesses. You know, Germany has a $130 billion stimulus package, and they have a much lower rate of unemployment at the moment. You know, it's under 8% for them, and obviously, you know, upwards of 20% for us.
We're investing too, though, aren't we? Or that's the big plan, to borrow lots and invest lots.
Yeah, and I think that is the right thing to do, and it's going to be a balancing act. Nobody is saying, you know, to kind of spend in a profligate way, but I think that we have to be seen to be supporting businesses and to be supporting people. And I do notice, you know, if you go back to the German model, is not only are they, you know, offering grants and loans to small and medium businesses and kind of more significant bailouts to larger companies, but they're also doing things like supporting families directly. They're giving a €300 payment per child, and they're specifically a number of supports for single parents and for things like childcare. So, you know, if you're somebody who's in precarious work or you're in kind of hospitality work that's seasonal, issues like childcare are very difficult. And I suppose those are the areas where, if you take a kind of a more holistic view, that we could really ensure that we get the economy back online while supporting, you know, families and people.
And do you think the government's plans to borrow will be sufficient to allow for all that, or do you think that we're not planning to borrow enough?
I mean, I think this is a movable feast, and you can see that the numbers are changing all of the time. Even the SPU reports that we got a few weeks ago are different from what we're seeing coming out now. And so I think we're going to have to adjust our expectations as we move forward. And we still have to deal with COVID payments and the PUP payments and how we're going to address those. So I think what probably the prudent thing to do is to continuously revise what our expectations are. It's a huge difference between a recovery that happens in 2022 and a recovery that might happen in 2024. And of course, unlike other European countries, or at least to a much greater extent, we also have the threat of no-deal Brexit.
Mm. I know that one of your concerns about the programme for government and this new government forming was, as you put it, that this would be the most fiscally conservative government in a generation. Do you still hold those concerns, or have you seen anything to change your mind?
Well, I mean, look, we're still in the middle of the pandemic, and we're still kind of, you know, trying to keep up with things as they change day to day. I'm hoping that we can do what we said in the programme for government, which is invest in people and invest in businesses and invest our way out of a recession. I don't think what we want to see is a replay of what happened, you know, from 2008 onwards, where there was a failure to invest in kind of basic services. And I think that what we learned from that process...
Why are you hoping we'll do what is said in the programme for government if you were opposed to it?
Well, I think my the concerns that I voiced was that we would prioritise deficit reduction over investments during a recession. And I think we just need to be mindful that we do the investment part as a priority. And it's not that you would forget about, kind of prudent financial management of the economy, but that I think what we saw, you know, in the decade after 2008 is that that push to cut spending in services and cut spending on social protection, that actually damaged our economy in the long term, because we rely very heavily on foreign direct investment. And when you're trying to attract people into your country, when you're trying to attract corporations, you know, that have individuals who want to come here for a good life, the idea that you don't have good transport system, or that you don't have good childcare, or, you know, that you don't have the basic services, good healthcare, to provide people with that attractive quality of life, it actually works against you. So I think that we need to work really hard now to ensure that we're doing that.
Were you disappointed not to get a call for a junior ministry role?
You know, to be honest with you, look, in my constituency, I have Debenham workers standing out in the street who've been working for that company for 30 years, and they're trying to get their redundancy. I am not going to, you know, come on the National Airways and complain as a new TD about not getting a junior ministry role. I think, you know, nobody's entitled to anything, and you have to work to get where you want to be.
You weren't just a new TD, though. You were a finance spokesperson for the party, and you were in there as one of the negotiators.
I was, but I guess, look, that's a matter for leaders, and it's not really for me to kind of get involved in that.
Your party colleague in Cork, Lorna Bogue, said it was, and I quote, actually pretty sexist that a finance position didn't go to the female finance spokesperson and was given to a man with a completely unrelated portfolio. Very disappointed to see such overt sexism against women in politics from the Green Party for all our talk of equality. Your thoughts on that?
I think every single party has a job of work to do around, you know, attracting women into politics. And certainly, you know, if you're in one of those kind of one of those areas that has been historically more male dominated, you know, you have a little bit more of a mountain to climb. I think that the Green Party is the same as any other, you know, party, that we have 12 TDs and only two of them are women.
Yeah,
so
and on that basis,
we have really hard work to do.
To be fair, on that basis, you were a very prominent member of the party. As I said, you were held the role of finance spokesperson. You were in there as a negotiator. You are one of two women in the party, and yet you didn't get a call up. Is that a good signal from the Green Party in terms of gender equality?
Well, you know, it might be or it might not be, but
is it or not? What do you think?
Just as the female TD, I don't think it's my role to explain away the decisions of other people, particularly if they're senior men.
Sure. No, so I'm not asking you to explain.
I think that's a question that you'd need to ask the person who made the decision.
Yeah, no, I'm not asking you to explain their decision. I'm just wondering your thoughts on it in terms of a message from the Green Party to women who might be considering running for the Green Party. Is this a party that welcomes women and wants to promote them on the basis of that decision this week?
Well, look, I think there was more going on there than just the gender issue, but I definitely think that, like, you know, we need to do the work on gender, and we need to attract more people into the, more women into the party, and more people from diverse backgrounds. So, look, we need to get better at that and do more.
Yeah, sure. And of course, there was more going on because you were one of three TDs who were opposed to the programme for government, and perhaps that was a factor. It was certainly notable that Eamon Ryan chose not to promote any of the three who were opposed to the programme for government to any of the ministerial roles. Was that a mistake, do you think, in terms of unifying the party?
You know, I have to say, well, look, we won't know until the fullness of time whether it was a mistake, but I don't think that unifying the party resides in, you know, who gets particular jobs. Like, and I also think that the kind of full and frank exchange of views that we had and the in-depth policy discussions probably looks a lot weirder from the outside than it does to actual Green members, because we do policy from the ground up and we often have big debates because we're a broad church. And so I think that maybe, you know, for other people in the political sphere, that seemed quite strange or maybe seemed more difficult than it actually was. But I think we do now all need to work together. We do need to come together. I'm not sure jobs necessarily is the kind of olive branch that has been painted as this week.
Have you spoken to Eamon Ryan since he announced the ministerial appointments?
No, I haven't managed to catch up with him yet.
Did he ring you at all to explain his decision beforehand?
I was actually in the Dáil Reform Committee that afternoon, so I missed the call, unfortunately.
So do you know if you're still finance spokesperson for the party?
I think now that, like, look, we've entered into a stage of kind of like a new stage for the party, and we're trying to kind of grapple with what it means to be in government, because all of us are new other than Eamon, and we're trying to find our feet. I suspect that there probably will be like a review of who does what anyway. So, that wouldn't be a great surprise if there are kind of changes there.
Are there any other positions you'd be hoping for in terms of committee chairs, anything like that?
No, look, I mean, that's not a matter for me. That would be something that the leaders, and indeed the three leaders of the parties in government, would decide.
All right, just finally then, do you think the decision not to promote anybody who is on the no side of the argument will affect the upcoming leadership battle in any way? Or what's your thoughts on the upcoming leadership battle?
Well, first of all, I think that, you know, it's really good that you have, like, leadership contests, and I don't think anyone should be scared of that, and I don't think you know, anyone would want to be in a place for 14 years without any kind of democratic process having happened around their position. Certainly that's not what you get into politics for, and so I think it's a good thing that we're having that kind of discussion.
I'm just wondering, for the 25% or so of Green Party voters who voted against the party, not a majority by any means, but still a significant enough cohort, do you think they will feel alienated by that decision this week?
I mean, look, I can't speak for that 25%, but I don't think that we should.
Has anyone been on to you? Has anyone been talking to you about it?
Sorry?
Has anyone been on to you, councillors, members, talking to you about it?
Actually, no. I think we're all digesting what's happened in the last week, to be perfectly honest with you.
All right. All right, we'll leave it there. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Nessa Horican, Green Party TD, possibly the finance spokesperson, not quite clear on that one. But thank you very much for joining us this morning, Nessa.